is never like what you have to do. So that's number one, okay? So some people, they get really encouraged by the text adventure and they just want to kind of sort of adapt that. Has anybody seen Zion? Is she here? She was here? Okay, she'll come back. So that's number one. And then the other thing is, like, when you guys are doing some of these homeworks right now, these quote-unquote homeworks, like playing around with the code and stuff like that, just make sure that you can also use that to contribute to your midterm and final. So, like, for example, like, we've been telling you to play around with Falling Rain, right? So I told Brandy yesterday, like, if your story consists of some raining scene, like, that's it right there. Like, your homework doesn't go to waste, right? So I'll repeat it again. So Zihan, you just got here. I just want to tell you guys, like, try not to do extra work. So in other words, the homeworks that I've been giving you, right? Like, make raining circles, have bouncing balls. If they contribute to your midterm or final, like, that would be great. Like, I was just saying, like, for example, if your story consists of a scene in the rain, right? Well, you already know how to do that in the project scene, like the raining balls. So that's try to incorporate what you know into the thing that you're making for the midterms and final. And then for some people, the midterm becomes, they like it so much that they kind of just change some things for the final. Like, you can't just like extend something and that's it for the final. Like, it has to be a different concept at least. But like the technology that you're making, like the functions that you're writing for the midterm, totally could be part of your final. Do you know what I mean? So say in the midterm, you wrote some functions that just loads a file and prints a image on the screen, right? Or audio, or you play some audio clip. Well, for the final, you could just reuse those functions. So that's why when, I know we haven't gotten functions, but I think it's tomorrow. But when you start figuring out how to put things into functions, try to write them so that you can reuse that code, so that you can use it for both midterm and final. So I think the ideal situation is you're actually reusing code that you're doing every day, just kind of changing it like a little bit. Like, you have some raining balls and you have some bouncing balls. And, you know, even if it's not bouncing ball, you can imagine, like, in your animation, it could be a GIF that's like bouncing around the screen, right? You know, Pokemon bouncing on the screen. That's totally part of what you already learned how to do. So don't try to reinvent the wheel and just try to reuse stuff that you already came up with. And save your progress. Like, say, so you made something really cool, just save that, identify that well, and then next time you can just go back and copy that code or use that code. It'll make your midterm and final much easier. Like, if you just put all your homeworks together and write some extra connecting code, that's like almost a midterm. That really is.
The midterm is the text adventure. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So we could just like adapt that and make it like how you did with your visual component to your text adventure. Okay.
Yeah. I'll show you some more text adventures. So let me give you the deadlines for those. Like, it wasn't super clear before. Basically, we want you to have, I at least want you to have the kind of story and flow chart of it done by tomorrow. Doesn't have to be final, and it doesn't even have to be, you're allowed to change it a little bit, but I would like to see at least some rudimentary flow chart. Like, at least, so today, later on, we're going to go around the room and, like, ask you kind of what you're passionate about in your story, you know. But tomorrow, you're just going to have a flowchart. I mean, hopefully it's not a lot of effort, you know, because it's literally, you don't need to have a computer. You just draw it on your napkin, and it's totally fine. But I would like to have a flowchart by tomorrow. And then the reason for that is because then you can start coding, even if it's very simple, you can start coding right away. Like, you can just start your skeleton of your sketch right away. And then the absolute deadline is next week on Friday, but you should try to aim to finish by Wednesday. The reason is because there's like a time period between Wednesday and Friday where you're kind of just learning how to present it, kind of like helping you how to figure out what to say about that particular story, working out the bugs. Like, a lot of people, they got it done on Wednesday, go, oh yeah, they go to sleep, they wake up in the morning, they run the sketch, it doesn't run. Do you know what I mean? So, but that's okay, because it's Wednesday, so it's still okay. So that's why you want to have Wednesday as your, like, oh, okay, I want to finish the text adventure. Like, I want to show something. In fact, what's going to happen is, in class on Wednesday, you will show, like, your...
Next Wednesday.
You're going to show your final game on Wednesday. Final. Like, as in, like, as final as you can make it, right? So, for those of you who really do get there on Wednesday, that'll be great, because you'll be done. You don't have to do anything Thursday and Friday for the midterm. Because Thursday and Friday, you're going to be starting your final, or for your other classes. Because the final, otherwise, you only have a week, and that's not very much time for the final. So that's why I'm bringing it into half-half. Wednesday is halfway point, so that's where you should have the midterm. And then the Friday of the last week is the due date for the final. For the final, there will be crits. What's the right way to say crits? Like, people who are going to evaluate, or not evaluate, like, give thoughtful inspiration and reflections on your work. And I think what's going to happen is that final Friday will be a combination of faculty members or alumni, I think. Okay? So things could change. But for the midterm, I will try to have people like that I know come in and, you know, look at your work. So you can use it as, you know, some of them will be emerging artists. Maybe there'll be a professor that I know or something like that. And then, you know, this is just my, I don't know what the other people are doing, but I would like to have that for you guys. You know, at least one other person to come in and just, that way you can actually present your game as like a real, you know, like, you're not just going to present like, oh, hey, play my game, it's cool. Like, I want you to present it as, you know, you have your flow chart, you have story, you have a few images, you have some pseudo code about what you use, like your audio or whatever, I keep saying audio, you don't have to have audio, like your, you know, some function that you use, like what you learn, and then what you can extend it to do. You know, so like a real presentation that everybody can kind of get used to the idea of presenting.
So you present the process.
Yeah, yeah. And that will be next Friday.
Next Friday.
Yeah, yeah. And demo your game during your presentation. Yeah. But on Wednesday, it's an informal like semi-formal presentation within our group. So you have to present on Wednesday amongst all of us. So, is that clear?
Yeah.
Now, having said that, it's not pressure, okay? Like, if you're just dying, and like this weekend, your brother is getting married, and then your Sunday, your dad's getting married again, you know? Well, like, whatever, like, if stuff just happened, your significant other, you know, is here only for a limited amount of time, you know, whatever it is, you know, if it happens that you kind of have some delay here or there, well, that's perfect. You have that 2 extra days that I didn't tell you about, right? But do try to have a final version on Wednesday, because that's the middle of our boot camp, so that's the midterm.
And for the final, it's like a combination of everything that we've made?
No, final is another thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you on Wednesday of next week, but I mean, just to start, it's kind of like, it's basically anything you want to do, but it has to be in processing. But it could be processing with other stuff. For example, if you want to connect to JavaScript, if you want to connect to Arduino, a lot of people love doing that. That is not going to be covered in class, but I think I have a workshop on Arduinos, and other people, there's like at least 3 workshops on Arduinos, I think. Right? Do you guys have access to some list of workshops or whatever?
I think
Yeah, check that out. So, I know what I'm teaching is, and you guys should bring friends if you like, but what I'm teaching is I'm doing a wearable tech Arduino workshop, I think it's next Thursday, I want to say. And that's kind of, you could just learn Arduino there if you want. It's not necessarily just, okay.
What happens if we don't pass? Okay.
Okay, so let me become Sven for like 5 seconds. If you don't pass, then technically you have to take it again next year, I think. Technically, because you have to pass boot camp to graduate, right? That's all I know. Now, having said that, like unless something really weird happens, like I don't think you're gonna like fail. You know what I mean?
Like, I wasn't like planning on it. It's more just a question of
I think it's just for your own. Like, if you pass boot camp with flying colors, you know next semester, because this is almost kind of the worst of it, almost kind of. So you know that next semester you're gonna be okay. Like whatever comes, you're gonna be okay. Now if boot camp was like hard and you kind of like just got through it, like you kind of, you know, you manage to just get enough to make a project, put a scrapbook project together, that's okay too. That just means that now you know what to prepare for. You know, you have a week before the semester starts, and you can just kind of, you know, get some extra help or just concentrate on a different thing, you know, like, that's totally fine. So it's not, like, I don't think anybody's going to fail, basically. Especially in this class. Like, this class, nobody's going to fail. But just to refresh on you guys for fun, you know, if you fail, technically you have to pass it to graduate. That's all. Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm also teaching on either the Tuesday or the Thursday of the final week, machine learning in JavaScript. So I'm teaching on the hard stuff. So those of you who are interested, or your friends are interested, because most people don't know machine learning, so it's going to be a...
Are they
like
on the tutorial
page
or the workshop
page,
or
what
are they?
Do you have that link?
My computer has it before. It's the weekend,
you mean? Maybe you can post it on the Slack, just so that we
can... Yeah, workshop schedule, right?
Yeah. So mine are actually like an hour and 10 minutes, just almost on that, but I will go very basic up to that. Yeah. And then I have one more, but... they gave you the last day before the final. So it's like, the idea is like, okay, you know, people who couldn't finish our project, just go code. No, just go to code. So, heavy burden. Okay, I'm going to try to go a little bit more, kind of follow the schedule today. Okay, so just so that we have plenty of time for questions and everything. Any questions so far for the logistics stuff? So the two main things is, when you're writing your code and whatever, be ready to go towards the midterm final. Like, just understand that this class is basically about having a good midterm and good final. So everything you do can kind of feed into that. Just when you're writing your code, you're already preparing yourself to write those things. And then the other thing is just about expectations about, you know, when things are. Do Wednesday, and then we have a final presentation on... Sorry, do Wednesday, but we have a midterm presentation on Friday. Okay, today, so we're going to talk about inputs. So when we say input, that just means what the user is going to specify to the program. So far, everything that we cover so far is literally what the composer tells the machine, right? The programmer tells the machine, because the programmer writes this thing in the loop, and then it begins like something, and then it keeps going in a certain way. But there's nothing that's like, during the time when the program is running, what actually happens. So now it's about what happens when the user, the viewer, actually gives some input to the program. How would the program respond? So it's a little bit higher level programming. So it's kind of, I think of it actually sort of like, you know, like a prepared speech. You know, like depending on like what the audience might say, you might say something different. Like so, it seems like it's prepared, but then it kind of depends on. It's kind of like this class. Like we prepare something, and then depending on input, we change the you know particular program we show or the particular slide that we concentrate on. So it's kind of like that. Just a recap on conditional. So by the way, I want to ask who here is. Not over 90% like sure with conditionals, like if then type stuff. Get a hand. Who is like over 90% they feel like?
Over 90% sure.
Yeah, like 90% good. Like you're like if I ask you, are you good with conditionals, like if then or if else kind of stuff? Are you over 90% ish fine? You know? 80-90%? Anybody? Good, good. Okay, so for those of you who maybe are, you know, 75%, what's the most confusing thing? Give me one most confusing kind of unsure thing. Okay, so kind of like actually writing down the variable, like comparing a variable to some number or something like that, right? Okay, okay.
And
sure. JC, is there anything?
The double equal sign sometimes will throw me off, but then when you explained it yesterday, got it, and then got it. No.
Okay.
I
good.
Advice,
so. Okay. So then we will.
I'm not worried.
Okay. So then we'll kind of concentrate on those things as we're doing the live coding and review. Okay, that's good because I wouldn't know otherwise. So thank you very much for the feedback. Okay. So just let me go through the conditional just a little bit more. Again, they're based on kind of logic, right? So if I'm hungry, then I'll eat food. Else, I don't eat, right? And then when we're doing the operations, I'm kind of happy that you guys aren't too confused about the operations because some people are confused about that, but it seems like people are okay with that. But the operations, again, you're connecting a Boolean together with another Boolean. In this case, if you're hungry and you're thirsty, then you eat food, just like that. So just converting between the two. Again, the same thing with OR, just replacing that with the OR operation. If I'm hungry and the temperature is 70 degrees. So this is kind of getting at this equal stuff, right? So what we have so far before that was the Boolean values, right, in the if statement, right? So if hungry is a Boolean, right? So remember those data types, Boolean, int, float, chars, and strings, right? In this case, hungry is a Boolean, thirsty is a Boolean, but you can actually use a relational operation in place of any of those. So because when you say 10 double equals 70, that's actually converting into a Boolean. I think that's kind of like a tricky part, JC. I think this is kind of like, because you look at it, and it's just like numbers, right? You would have thought just like, oh, we're just looking at an operation involving numbers. But what it's happening is it's converting basically two number relationships into a Boolean, whether true or false. And when you, anytime you have a Boolean situation, it doesn't even have to be a variable, it could also be a relation. Each one of these pieces become a Boolean value. So it becomes this Boolean and this Boolean. So in order for this to be true, we have to be the hungry true, and we have to be 10 double equals 70. So implicit here is hungry double equals true. I think that's kind of the trick. So hungry double equals true. But instead of writing that, you just write hungry because it's a short way of you know, it's like a programming shortcut.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you have to write a couple equal false, a couple equal true all the time. Anybody know how to say not hungry?
The exclamation
point? Right, the kind of exclamation point, hungry. Yeah. What's another way to write that? Like, fully? Like, not exclamation point hungry, but like the full.
Hungry exclamation point equal true or whatever.
Exactly. So hungry exclamation point equals true. Because that's saying hungry is not true. That's the same as not hungry. Should I write that out? Should I write it out or? Yeah, I'll just write it out real fast. Because, you know. Let me see. Does anybody have a marker?
The markers are all over here.
Yeah, so hungry. Okay, writing it out maybe not so good because my handwriting is so crappy. But this is like not hungry. And then it's a shortcut by saying hungry not equal true. There's only one more way of writing this. Does anybody know? Huh? Yeah, exactly. Ashley's got it. So it's hungry double equal false. Exactly. So these are all equivalent. And in fact, in your sketch, you can, you know, if you don't believe it, you can kind of just try it, you know, like, you know. If not hungry, put the line hungry. Or, sorry. If not hungry, put the line full. And then you put, instead of not hungry, you write this thing, put line full. Or you write this thing, print line 4. And in all three cases, you'll print line 4. You see a 4 on the console. You understand? Right now, go that it's kind of clear.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to this one. Whoa! Okay, so hopefully that makes a little bit more sense, the double equal sign. It's not assignment, so I got some great questions during the workshop thing yesterday. So again, the assignment should be its own line, right? So when you say, so this is now different from hungry equals false, right? That's saying that hungry is set to be false. But whenever you're doing that, just make sure you're not doing that inside some function or inside some argument.
Because it'll always be the same.
No, it will always see you true, actually.
Okay.
To the thing that it's giving to. So basically the short answer is always do an assignment by itself. Like don't do it inside some thing, you know, within the if or within the form, you know, just don't do anything. Within the form is different, okay. But within, you know, whenever you're programming something specifically, just don't put this inside, you know, like ifs or functions specifically. Okay, so hopefully that's more clear about conditionals. And then similar to what we do before, how would you say temperature 70 degrees or below? What would be the...
The two lines?
Oh, okay, right, the two lines to the or, right? Okay, there you go. But actually, I don't think this is wrong, I guess, because it should be or. But what I meant is it's the less than or equal to thing. Yeah. But this is wrong, I'm sorry, because you need to change this or. Yeah. This should be or. This should be the two lines. You guys are right.
Okay, so disregard the and.
Yeah, it should be double line. Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't check this line.
This still says and, though, right?
Oh, I'm sorry. Not or. So sorry. You're right. Okay, never mind. This is okay. I wasn't looking in the right place. This is actually correct. It's hungry and the temperature is 70 degrees or below. So the key is to have the less than or equal for the temperature. Sorry, I'm looking in the wrong place.
Oh, okay. So
is this one okay?
Yeah. So equal or below.
Equal or below is less than or equal, yeah. So it's the kind of caret to the left equal thing. Yeah. And it is N. So I guess the other small thing is that sometimes you have to put braces or brackets, parentheses around certain parts of the N ors because you want to do this first and then that. That same thing with plus and minuses, right? So yeah, sometimes you want to say, when it gets complicated, right? So in this case, not really, but, you know, you want to say hungry and either have meal car or have coupon, right? So sometimes you want to say that. So in that case, you have to say this or that in parentheses and hungry. Then I'm going to buy food. Right? Because this is different from saying, like, hungry and have meal car here or have food.
Oh.
Right? Because this other thing actually doesn't make sense in this context. It would just be saying, like, you're hungry and then, so basically you have meal car. So then you have meal car or you have a car. So it's a different logic. So it just depends on how. So a lot of times you have to put parentheses around it just to say, okay, I want to say this or this and this.
Which it decodes the things in the parentheses first?
Yeah. So if you put parentheses, it always does the parentheses first and then it calculates this. So it's going to say, you have a meal car? Yeah, coupon, if you know those are true, then this is true. And then true and whatever this is. So parentheses are really useful. And you probably end up using this as a text adventure. Because the text adventure would be like, if you have a gun and the bank is open, you know, but the security guard is not there, then you're gonna shoot. Was that okay? Did people understand that parentheses stuff? Cool. So that was a little bit advanced stuff on conditionals. So we're gonna step a little bit away from the conditionals. But I remember what you guys said about some of the conditionals about less than or equal to or double equal. That's kind of confusing. So during my coding, whatever, we'll slow down and look at that carefully. Okay. The next part we want to go into is the idea of debugging. The reason it's here is because a lot of times the conditionals are really confusing, and it's like, oh, like, is this logic right? You know. So to test that, what you want to do is you want to figure out if the program is doing what you intended to do. So unfortunately, we give them a really weird name for this, and it's called bugs, as in like something that's not where it's supposed to be, I guess. So when you do boot camp, just, you know, when you're camping, you gotta be careful. Bugs. You know.
I think it was like in the original computer, like the giant computer, there was an issue once and they found like a dead fly in the machine, and that's why.
So it's an actual thing?
Yeah.
Wow. That makes sense. So this is a bug. Oh yeah, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what they say. They take the insect in your logbook and they label it the first actual case of bug being found. So therefore, debug, the word debug, was invented, right? It's like getting rid of bugs, debugs. But having said that, debugging is actually a very kind of simple process, because what you do in debugging is that, well, first of all, they're always there, okay? There are always a bug in your program, like somewhere, especially if it's a little long, right? very simple questions like the grammatical errors, like semicolons and stuff like that. A lot of it, though, and those are easy to fix because lots of people pick it up, but a lot of it they won't pick up. Because remember those stuff about like when it's going over 255 but processing didn't care? Well, that's actually a bug that's not detected when you're playing the program. Like it's kind of a bed bug. it just goes under the surface and it doesn't come out. It doesn't necessarily manifest itself. So for those kinds of things, you really want to figure out your current knowledge of what you think this program is doing should be the same as what the program actually is doing. Okay? Sorry, I think I realized... So that's the idea of debugging, is that you want to be good at figuring out when your idea of what the program is doing is not the same as what the program is doing. And actually, the way to think about it, I think, is not to say, oh shit, I have a bug in my program, that sucks, right? The way to do it is kind of like Sherlock Holmes. It's kind of like, okay, I'm going to print one here, print one there, and then when you find one, it's like, yeah, alright, bam, you know? Like, so you could... Because then you get a positive reinforcement for finding bugs. Otherwise, you're just like, oh man, I gotta debug this shit, you know? What you really wanna do is like, you go and you print that out, oh, not working. I wonder where the bug is. And then when you see it, you go, aha, that's the bug. I know exactly what's going on now. Even if I can't fix it, now I know. Because I can now just squash it, right? Or I can take that bug down. So, and anyways, that's... I was helping someone with web yesterday, and that's kind of what I did. I was like, aha, this is great. Bugs are also tasty in many countries. So, just throwing it out there. Okay, debugging. So, the good news though, now you can, a sign of relief for all of you. Good news is debugging is very simple. It's just printing shit out. That's it. So, I just paused a long time so you can remember what I said. It's just printing stuff out. It's so simple. Like, most people don't kind of think of it that way, but because, think about it, if you can't find a bug, right? Like, say you're looking for a bug and you can't find it in your house, like, not in the program, right? Well, what do you do? Like, what do you... Anybody? You can't find a bug. Wait, I don't know, like...
Set a trap,
yeah. Yeah, or use a flashlight, right? Like, go, okay, is it under here? Like, you know, but like, make sure you can see it, right? Like, open the closet so that you can see it. Like, you do things to just reveal itself. So that's why it's all about print lines, right? Because the print line is your flashlight, right? So... Remember, all the good stuff is not on the slide, guys. You sign a flashlight, you open up the closet, you go under the floor. That's the only way you're going to find bugs, right? So the key about, like you were saying something about you wait till it comes out. Sometimes that actually happens, okay? So that happens when you have really complicated code, like Unity or whatever, and the program works most of the time except for like one or two very special cases. And you're like, damn, I don't get what's going on. So there you kind of, okay, we're going to run it again and see if I see it again. As soon as I see it again, I print line that thing that I see. So that's where you're right. It's actually, so you wait for it to come out, but the way you wait for it to come out is you run the program again, and then you figure it out. So, you know, so you're right too. But having found it, like found kind of near what that problem is, you got to now, like, you know, shine the flashlight. So when I say shine the flashlight, guys, whatever, we have this secret code as Ray's code class, 7 class, right? So like shine the flashlight, that means you're going to do a print line in your program. Okay? Shine the flashlight. Okay? And then also, it's kind of positive reinforcement. You shine the flashlight, you found it, you go, oh yeah, bam, you know? It's kind of fun to smash stuff. You know, you can use your thumb, put it, okay. All right. Okay, so print line. So basically, yeah, so when you write, so we're going to have an exercise. We're going to write a simple sketch. Oh, boy, this is... And then we're going to declare a variable that changes when the program is running. And then we'll use print line to print this value to the console. And then we're also going to use a condition to see if it's true or false. So, so I'm going to do something simple. Let's since it is live coding. But I think what I'll do, okay, because I'm going to practice what I preach, which is you should always be using your previous stuff, right? Remember what I said is, like, for your midterm, for your final, you're already kind of using your homework in a way. I'm going to do this exercise on the day two bouncing ball. Actually, I'm going to do it on the day two exercise variables, because we didn't kind of go over it, okay? So I'm going to copy this over. Do you guys all have this code? The day... Sorry, let me go back. So go to day two, right? If you're on Slack, it's the second thing I sent you on Slack. It's called day 02 exercise underscore variables. Do you guys all find that?
Yeah.
You got it? So help each other if you don't find it. So I'll just show you, this is what the program actually looks like. This is what it should look like.
The color one, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Some of you already ran it before. Everybody have this one? No? So.
Did you find this one from the slide? Yes. That one. It's the latest, last thing. Last. All the way to the end. So just download that and open it. You have it, right? Okay. You have it? Okay, you have it. You got it?
You got it? Not the most important. Yeah, there are two things that can be the last of all.
Okay, so I'm going to run it first so that you can see a very simple sketch can actually give you some really cool visuals. Are you guys seeing these random circles being populated on the screen? Pretty cool, right? This is like, you know, JavaScript. Like. Everybody have this? Everybody have it? So everybody can get to here, right? Get to the same point I'm getting to do this, right? Yeah? Everybody. Okay, cool. So now we have this sketch. I'm not going to worry about what it does first. We're going to go in there and kind of change some things. I mean, we can walk through it, but basically it's declaring a bunch of numbers, right? And then the setup doesn't do really much of anything. The only thing it does is it changes the background to 255, which is white. Okay, so this is going to be here. I will comment it like I should. White background. Okay? And then this random thing is actually generating a random number between 0 and 255. Right? So, and then when it says random 20, it's generating randomly between 0 and 20. When it says random width, the width and the height are kind of special characters in processing that, in this case, Well, in this case, what is, does anybody know what width is? What number does width equal?
720,
yeah. Yeah. And what's the height?
480.
Yeah. So it's like a special, like, variable. Yeah, so that variable automatically scores. It's kind of a way for processing to kind of help you out, kind of, because the height and the weight. And so that, what that means is your variables cannot have that name. So you can't make a variable named width. Because if you do that, you will kind of overtake processing's own variable. So width in this case, So the first thing we want to do is just like we were doing, right? We're going to go in there and change something. In fact, I think, okay, let's do this exercise. This is great. With the person next to you, right, you're going to switch seats for just, you know, 10 seconds. You're going to go into the next person's sketch and make some change in the code so that it won't work anymore. Okay? Yeah, I know. And then you're going to go back, and then you're going to go back to your seat, and you're going to try to figure out what the other person did to your code. This is great. I wish you had told everybody else to do this.
It doesn't work if there's an error, or like a
you know what? Okay, hold on. Before you do it.
The easy way to do this is you add an error, then it won't run anymore, right? The hard one to do this is you add an error that looks like it might be fine, but actually it's not doing the same thing.
It's not doing the same thing
that you can do. Right, but in this case, this is kind of complicated, so I wouldn't, like, kind of, okay, I'm just going to add a little, you know. Like, it has to be obvious enough that it's wrong. Okay. Okay. So it has to be somewhat obvious if it's an error. But you can also just add something so that it doesn't work. It's just weird. Yeah. You can also do that again, but then, you know, that probably has to be rewired. And remember, they're sitting next to you. This is why this exercise is with the person next to you, so they can smack you in the head. So please change seats or change computer, however you guys want to do it. Make sure you don't have your Instagram logged on. Make sure they don't get your you don't have a partner? Okay, I don't know what you do. You're the lucky day of the partner.
How many changes?
Just for exercise, I will change something on here so that it will just not run, okay? So, it'll still run, sorry. It'll still run. It's just different. Let's see what this does, actually. I have no idea. Nice. That's what I want. That's what I want.
Did you need to change?
Perfect. That's great.
If
you need to change, it's perfect. Perfect. Because this is the perfect change.
Oh, I know
this
is.
Yeah.
But I
don't say it right now. Actually,
no,
this is
that.
Huh? Oh, by the way, before you guys did this, you guys all write your program, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Alright, is it on the
name? No.
Everybody ready? Okay, so now you're going to run the program. So everybody run the program. And then I'm going to go around the room, and you're going to tell me what I see. So this is what I see on this program when I run it. Obviously, yeah. So, I'll start on this side.
Run the program.
JC. Nice. Okay, run the program. Oh, what?
No.
Good job. You did good. Okay. Okay. Nice. I like that. These are going
okay.
I don't know. I love it. You guys are making great changes. Wonderful.
It is so busy.
Everybody's program is doing better. Can I actually have a program and take a picture of everybody's program? Because it's awesome. Everybody has
to do that.
So leave it on the screen just for a second so I can
It's okay.
Oh, yeah.
And then I was like,
I should have done it too.
Yeah, that
would be good. Just wipe, okay? Don't fix it yet. Nice. Somebody has the So now, we're going to add in some print lines, right? So hopefully it kind of actually makes sense. If you know what the problem is, obviously I want you to just print line the problem, right? So just print line what you think is the problem. But if you don't know what the problem is, just start at the beginning. Like, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do print line. Red, right? But I'm going to do, actually, I forgot what the syntax is, but I think it's something like, I actually can't remember if that's a syntax. Let me see what the processing. Okay, real coding. I'm going to go into processing documentation, okay? And I'm just going to do print line and just see exactly what it does, so you guys can all do this, right? So when you Google processing print line, it will go to this page, okay? And then you notice that it gives you a bunch of examples, right? So you can see just from the example, sometimes you don't have to read the documentation. The examples right here already tells you what you can do, right? So in this case, it's just saying that you can just kind of put them in a series, just like I was doing, and it will just print things in a row. Everybody see that? Does everybody see that? Paying attention? You see that? So what that means is I can now go back to my program. So first stop your program. And then I will print line this, something like this. So you should try to kind of print line something like that, okay? And then make sure your console is big enough to see. So you can let's just look at what I'm doing first, and then you can do your thing, okay? So I am just adding a print line here, okay? And then when I run it, you see how it's printing out the R value? So that's telling me at R, I'm seeing this. And you see that little R equals thing? That's a string that I'm printing out. So I'm saying print out this R equals string and then print out the value of R. Is it clear?
Oh, wait.
Yeah. So I'm giving you kind of like a slightly more kind of elegant way of doing it. Instead of just printing out some number, print out what that number is, right? So the way you do that is this syntax. You print out, like, you know, a string that's whatever that your thing is, and then you print out the thing itself.
So the comma becomes like a plus sign?
Yeah, yeah. Kind of. So you can do things like this, right? You could do, like, you know, something like that, right? So then you run it again. You see that? So, yeah. You can print out whatever you want, right? So it's a very kind of easy way to use print line. So now that you know how to do that, I want you to just... okay, so if your code is broken, you're still going to do this. Because you're going to do this before the point it broke.
So, can we only have one person who's totally broken? Everybody is very obedient, sir. So, if your code is broken, basically what you know is that it never gets to here, right? So you go before this. So you do actually the same thing that I'm doing. You do print line R equals, and then R.
At the top of the draw?
Well, you could do it at the setup too, but yeah, where... Anywhere before it broke.
So, how do we know where it broke?
Hold on. Yeah.
No, you guys broke other people's code by, like, not having it actually stop running. I'm talking about the case where... Okay. So most of the time, a lot of the time, right? This is not what's happened. Well, a lot of time, what happens is something like this, okay? Can anybody see that?
Yeah.
So I added the B to B, right? So then when I run it, it says... See, now I can't run it, right? So in this case, you go, okay, I don't know what the problem is, but I can print out this, you know, R. You see what I'm saying? Right? So then I go run it again. And then I go... Why is it not printing out the R? Oh, okay. It's not even compiling. Okay. Okay, so I guess this won't fix it. Like, when the program stops working, you actually have to go in here and kind of figure out what this problem is. So it's kind of good because you kind of found the error.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it depends on which programming language you're using. So sometimes if the programming language is not processing, this will actually print out the R, and then it will say not working. Do you know what I mean? Like Unity or something, that's what we'll do. Like when you're in Unity, it'll print out the R, and then it will say BB not working or something. It kind of depends on where in the process. So if you're in the compiling stage versus you're in the running stage. But in this case, it's actually good because it already found out that BB is not working. So then you go into this line and you go like, okay, what's wrong with this line? Oh, it's because this was misspelled. Right? So for you, it's finished. That's it. You're done. Yeah, so the easy part. So now, for those of you who doesn't know what's wrong, I want you to just put print lines everywhere and figure out what the error is. So go and put print lines. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to print line here, and then I'm going to print line elsewhere. Right, I'm going to print line all these guys. I can copy and paste. So, one thing is, try not to have errors in your debugging code. Otherwise, you have to debug the debugger. So, And that can happen too, by the way. You can debug the debugger. So did people put print lines everywhere? Okay, so when I run my print line, I'm going to see this, right? So I see the R, G, B, they seem to be fine numbers. They're just random numbers. I see the diameter seems okay. They're just a reasonable size circle. But when I print out A, which is the... A is the alpha number, which tells you the transparency of your whatever you're drawing on. I notice it's always zero. But the transparency should not always be zero, because if it's zero, then it's just going to be drawing blank, right? So then, basically because of that, I found out, oh, wait a minute, there's a double, you know, this is, one of these has to be back to A, so I've changed it back to A, right? Then I go and put that print line back there, and then I run it again, and then... there you go, my circles are back, and my A's are now correct. So I found the problem by just print lining.
I know where error is with how I want to print line, but this is not. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 You print lining the size. So what are you doing right now is print lining the string that says size 2. So far it hasn't actually printed anything. What do you tell me what you want to print? What number do you want to print?
This should be 720.
Oh, okay. So so in this case it's kind of how do I say it? In this case, it doesn't help you that much, because it's just saying, you know, because it's not a variable. So, like, usually the print line is a kind of a variable. You kind of notice that a variable is not doing what you think you're doing. But what you could do is you could print line the width. You see? You know what I mean? So you're going to print line the width equals or something like that. Yeah, and hold on. And you're going to do comma after that. And then width. You see what I'm saying? So then when you print this out, the width should be like 2, right? Then that's what you're doing. You have to get rid of the R so that you can actually see that. Yeah, or you can comment it out. Without the quotes. Because when you put quotes in it, that's a string. You get that part? Because when you put quotes around the bit, then it's the string width. But this is the actual width.
Okay, and like explaining
to
that, you know, the quotes around it is
going to
actually have
a
word that I wrote.
Yeah. When you put quotes, guys, when you put quotes around things, you're telling me that it's a string. But if you want to print the actual thing, you put the actual thing without the quotes. So here you can figure out when you print it out with, you realize it was 2. That's why this thing was so thin. So then you found the problem, and then you change them back to whatever you need to.
Okay.
Yeah. Anybody found the problem?
Yeah.
No? Yeah. So you...
Yeah.
You already changed it back?
Yeah.
Okay.
She had the diameter at 0.
Okay, that's right. So you found it, did you find it at
all? Yes.
Right. So, but you don't have to change the battery, guys. You guys already. But the idea was like you found it, and then you figured out why it's wrong, and then you go back. Did you find a problem? You guys all find a problem? You guys all find a problem?
Yeah.
idea of how this works, right? So that's what you do. And also, I guess everybody knows what this code is doing, more or less. It's just generating random numbers for the R, the red, green, blue, and alpha, you know, transparency. It's also generating random numbers for the diameter circle. And then location is also random, but within the height and the width of the window. And then it just displays it.
Okay.
Yeah. So very simple, but you're already getting some interesting things, right? Okay. Cool. I'm very happy you guys all found each other's bugs. Okay. 5:20. Wait, good time. So print lines are your friends. Definitely use them. So debugging again, I just gonna reiterate what I just said, which is you look at the error messages, right? And then if you see it, so this is the part that the program stops, right? So what Aliza saw, right? So you check the line number and then you say what's wrong. If you figure out what it is, then you can change it back. If not, you Google it. You Google what the console says. By like character type wrong or something. Then you Google it and then you can find it. Otherwise, if you found like your program doesn't work the way you believe, like all your circles are like yellow instead of different colors, which is what you believe, then you do a print line wherever you need, line by line, usually near where you think it's wrong and working backwards. It's like you start at the place that you think is wrong, okay, it's not wrong. Alright, then you keep going. Like, you keep going until the place where it's wrong, basically. So what I did is I printed R, and okay, these are fine, these are nice numbers between 0 and 255, nothing's wrong. And then I printed green, it's like, okay, that's still fine, these are all okay numbers. And then it's not until I print out A that I feel realize what's wrong. Okay, so that's the process. And also, try to use comments. Because if you use comments, you can just temporarily disable a certain piece of code. Like, for example, if you add a piece of code that's actually wrong, then when you comment it out, the program will work again. Right? So try to use that as well. Where's our break? Hold on. Let me see. Do you guys want a break right now? I think I'm just, it's up to me where the breaks are. Do you guys need a break before the input stuff?
Sure.
People are tired?
Yeah, sure.
You want to take a break? So let's take a 5:20, you know, let's, you know, 15 minutes. We're doing pretty good today, so 15 minute break. Knock yourself up. Have a sandwich.